Will you please turn to the letter to the Galatians? Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. Our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, so that he should deliver us out of the present evil world, according to the will of our God and Father. And the same book, chapter 6, verse 14. Chapter 6, verse 14. But far be it from me to boast, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom the world is crucified to me, and I to the world. The Gospel according to John, chapter 17. John chapter 17, verse 6. I have manifested thy name to the man whom thou givest me out of the world. They are thine, and thou givest them me, and they have kept thy word. The same chapter, verse 11. And I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep them in thy name, which thou hast given me, that they may be one as we. Verse 14. I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, as I am not of the world. Verses 18 and 19. As thou hast sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And I sanctify myself for them, that they also may be sanctified by truth. And finally, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. Wherefore, come out from the midst of them, and be separated, saith the Lord, and touch not what is unclean, and I will receive you, and I will be to you for a father, and ye shall be to me for sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we want to thank Thee for gathering us before Thy table this morning. Lord, our hearts are forever grateful to what Thou hast done for us. Thou didst give Thy all to us. What can we say? Lord, we want to hear Thy word. We want to follow Thee. We want to love Thee. We want to give ourselves wholly to Thee. May Thy name be glorified in each one of us. We commit this time into Thy hands. We trust Thy Holy Spirit to send Thy word into our hearts and bring us into Thy truth. We give Thee all the praise and glory in the precious name of our dear Lord Jesus Christ. the Lord seems to impress upon my heart these days on this matter of separation. That is, separated from the world. Now we know the very word church. In Greek is ekklesia. And ekklesia simply means called out ones, gathered together. God has called us out of the world and gathered us together unto the name of our Lord Jesus. That is, unto the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ. Out of every nation, every tribe, every tongue, God has gathered out a people for himself. And that is what the church is. That is what we are. We are a chosen race. A kingly priesthood. A holy nation, a people for a possession, that we might set forth the excellencies of the one who calls us out of darkness into his marvelous light. So that's what we are. We are the called out ones. God has separated us out from the world, that we may be holy his. We are different. We have a different life from that of the world. We have a different spirit, even the Spirit of God in us, a Holy Spirit. We have a different manner of life, a way of life that is heavenly, not earthly. We are sojourners and strangers on this earth, because we are like Abraham, the father of faith. We are looking forward to a city with foundations, which God himself is the builder. That's what we are. A separated people. We remember when God delivered the children of Israel by the Paschal Lamb, the angel of destruction, pass over the children of Israel. They were delivered out of death by the blood of the Lamb. But God did much more than that. When God sent Moses to Pharaoh, God said, "Let my people go that they may serve me." In other words, God not only saved them from death by the blood of the Lamb, but God delivered them out of the land of Egypt, out of the tyranny of Pharaoh. Why? Because if they are saved from death, and yet they remain in Egypt, they cannot serve God. Pharaoh tried to keep them in Egypt. Why not worship God in Egypt? Why must you go away? But Moses said, "We have to go 3 days' journey in order to serve our God." our man, our woman, our children, our cattle, everything have to come out of Egypt in order that God might be served. And thank God, His work is so complete that He not only delivered them out of death in Egypt, He also took them out of Egypt by crossing the Red Sea and left Egypt behind. Now, brothers and sisters, when God's mercy comes upon us, He does the same thing. He not only has saved us from our sins, as we find in Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. Our Lord Jesus Christ saved us from our sins. And what a salvation that is. But that's not the end. That He should deliver us out of this present evil world, according to the will of our God and Father. So it is the will of God, not only to save us from our sins, but to deliver us from this evil world, according to the will of our God and Father. You remember on the day of Pentecost, when Peter delivered that message of salvation, he showed them that the one whom they crucified, God has raised him up, and he is now enthroned by the right hand of God. God has anointed him king, anointed him Lord and Christ. And when he spoke, many hearts were pricked, because they were the one that crucified our Lord. And then Peter said, repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, that your sins may be forgiven and you may receive the promise that is from above. And after that, you remember, with many words, he exhorted them and said, be saved from this evil generation. And those who listened to his word, they were baptized. 3,000 were baptized on that day. Now, what is baptism? Why is it, brothers and sisters, that we who believe in the Lord Jesus, isn't that enough? Why must we be baptized? We are saved by the blood of our Lord Jesus. Only the blood can remit us from our sins. Water cannot remit us, cleanse us from our sins. Then why should we be baptized? What is the meaning of baptism? What is meant by be saved through the water? It is not that our sins may be washed away, because it was washed away by the blood of our Lord Jesus. It is to be saved from the world. God has already delivered us out of the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. And now by baptism, we act out our faith. We believe that we are dead to the world, and we are now made alive unto God. That is the meaning of baptism. So, brothers and sisters, We who have believed in the Lord Jesus and are baptized, we are a separated people. God has delivered us out of the world unto Himself. That is what we are. When you look into the history of the children of Israel, you find when God led them out of Egypt, He did not lead them by the normal way of traveling from Egypt to Canaan. There is a land route. You can go from Egypt to Canaan. That is the route of the Philistines. But God did not lead them that way. Why? Because God said, when they came out, and if they should meet any warfare, they might be discouraged and return to Egypt. So in order to cut off the way back into Egypt, God led them a roundabout way. And even through the Red Sea, because after they crossed the Red Sea, Egypt was behind them. They couldn't go back anymore. So, brothers and sisters, you find how God wanted His people to be out of Egypt and never to return. But unfortunately, we find that even though they came out of Egypt, when they travel in the wilderness, again and again you find their hearts return to Egypt. Oh, how they long for the smelly things in Egypt, the garlics, the onions, and all these things. They forgot the hardship. They forgot they were under the sentence of death in Egypt. And yet they only remember all these fishes and all these smelly things of Egypt. And not only that, they even try to choose their own leader to lead them back into Egypt. Now, thank God He didn't allow them to do it. They wander in the wilderness 40 years. Until that whole generation passed away. And only with the second generation, they were able to enter into the promised land. I think this shall always be a warning to us. We, as those who are redeemed of the Lord, God has separated us from the world. This is the will of God. But are we a separated people? That is the question. Maybe, first of all, we need to understand what the Bible means by the word. The word world, cosmos, in the scripture have various meanings. It can mean the earth. The earth that God has created. And all the things on this earth. Now in Psalm 24 verse 1, it is said the earth is the Lord's. And all the fullness thereof, the world, and they who dwell in the world. So, you know, in Hebrew, this is a poetical way. In Hebrew, one of the poetic expressions is to repeat. And by repeating the same thing with different expressions, with different words. So here you find in Hebrew, Psalm 24, verse 1, the earth is the Lord's. And then he repeats it, the world and they that dwell upon it. So, here you find the word world means earth. The earth that God has created. And all the things that are upon this earth. Now, God created this earth for our enjoyment, for our sustenance, for our nourishment. And God created the earth that we may take care of this earth, to till it, that it may produce more, to rule over it, that God may be glorified. That is our relationship with this earth. But then you find in the Bible the word world has another meaning. It means people. The people that are on this earth. Now John 3:16 is all familiar with us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So here you'll find God so loved the world. Now not only God loved the earth that he created, but he said whosoever believes. So the word here means the people. The people that inhabit this world, on this earth. And God loved the people on this earth. And he loved them to such an extent as to give his only begotten Son to us. That if we believe in his Son, we shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So this is the second meaning of the word world. And yet you'll find there is another meaning. Cosmos itself means something organized, a system, an organized system. You know, the enemy of God, Satan, tried to oppose God. So he tried to organize the world into a system under his control in order to use it to oppose God's purpose. You know, after God created this earth or recreated it, make it habitable, God gave it to man. God asked man to take care of it. And yet, when man sinned, they handed over the world that is under their dominion to Satan. So Satan actually is not the rightful ruler of this world. He is a usurper. But he is now called the God of this world. The ruler, the prince of this world. He organized this world into a system that is opposing God's purpose. Whether it is political, economic, educational, social, or even religious, you find he organized all of these into a system to oppose God. And it is to that world that God has separated us. What is our proper relationship with the world? We find in the prayer of our Lord Jesus in John chapter 17. Here you find our Lord Jesus shows us our relationship with the world. First of all, he said, his Father has given us out of the world to Him. You know, we belong to this world. Not only we are on this earth, but we belong to this system. We are all under the dominion of the power of darkness, as you find in Ephesians chapter 2. We are all under the rule of the heir of the darkness. But God has delivered us out of this world, out of this system, and given us as His gift to His beloved Son. You know, we thank God that He gave His beloved Son to us as His gift to us. But at the same time, you find He gave us, redeemed people, as His gift out of the world to His beloved Son. So we belong to His beloved Son. We are God's gift to His beloved Son. Out of the world, God has delivered us. But then, in the same prayer, our Lord Jesus said, I'm going out of the world. That is to say, He's leaving this earth. He's leaving this whole system, because He's returning to His Father. But He said, they are still in the world. Out of the world, and yet still in the world. In other words, we are out of this world system that is opposing to God. But we are still in this earth. We are still living on this earth. Not only still living on this earth, to a certain extent, we are still under this environment. An environment that is opposing to God. We are living in a hostile world. We are living in a strange world. We are aliens. We are strangers. We are sojourners in this world. That is our situation today. And yet, again our Lord Jesus said, they are out of the world, they are still in the world, but they are not of the world. Isn't that wonderful? That God has called us out of the world, we are still in the world, and yet we are not of the world. Yes, we still live on this earth. Yes, we still live under that hostile environment. And yet, we do not belong to it. We are out of the world. We do not belong to this world system, because we belong to the kingdom of God's Son of love. Just like our Lord Jesus. You know, our Lord Jesus, He came into this world. He came into this world. He was born as a child. He grew up under the dominion of the Roman Empire. He was even under Judaism at that time, because he was born a Jew. And yet, our Lord Jesus, while he was on earth, it is so evident that he is not of the world. You find that he is a heavenly man living upon the earth. You find that he is under the rule of the Heavenly Father, not under the rule of any man, the Romans or the Jews. under any system, Roman system, or the Jewish system, religious system, you'll find he does not belong. He's different. He lives a heavenly life upon this earth. And one day, after he accomplished the work of redemption, then he returned to heaven, to his Father. But one day he's coming back again. That is our Lord Jesus. And the Lord said, the same way you should be. You are in the world, but you are not of the world. You do not belong to this system. You belong to heaven. And you should live a life of heaven upon earth, separated, different. But that's not the end. The Lord said again, he said, as you, Father, send me to the world, I also send them to the world. I sanctify them myself for them. Sanctify them by thy truth. Brothers and sisters, what does that mean? It means that he has so delivered us out of this world, so sanctify us by his word, that he is able to send us into the world. Go to all the nations, from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria, to the end of the earth, to preach the gospel, to be a testimony to God, into the world, to the people, and bring them into the kingdom of God. So, brothers and sisters, you find in the very prayer, high priestly prayer of our Lord Jesus, he has shown us our relationship with the world. Now the question is, where are we? Are we like the children of Israel? God has delivered them out of Egypt, and yet Egypt is still in their heart. Or are we even worse than the children of Israel? God has delivered us out of the power of darkness, and yet after we are saved, we have never left the world. Where are we? What is our relationship with the world today? Brothers and sisters, are we a separated people? How separated are we? You know, the world is a terrible system. The children of Israel came out of Egypt, out of the world. The first generation, their heart was still in the world, so they fell in the wilderness. The second generation, by the grace and mercy of God, entered into the promised land. But what happened after they were in the promised land? You'll find they were taken captive into Babylon. Out of Egypt into Babylon. Out of the world as it is into the religious world. They still were captured. How subtle is the world? And brothers and sisters, where is our stead? Have we really come out of the world? Positionally, we are. But experientially in our daily life? Are we a separated people? Are we different from the world? Are we still longing for the world? Are we still imitating the world? The world should imitate us, but instead, we imitate the world. Where do we stand? So, brothers and sisters, the Lord has recently exercised my heart on this matter. How much am I really be delivered from this world? The Apostle Paul, he said, he will not boast of anything save Jesus Christ and his cross. He will boast of the cross only. Why? Because so far as the world is concerned, he is crucified to the world. So far as he is concerned, the world is crucified to him. The cross stands in between, separated him from the world. Now, is that our testimony? Let us go back to the very beginning. Let us retrace our steps to the day when the Lord saved us. Before we were saved, we belonged to the world. And that's the reason why you find people want to belong. Young people want to belong. We belong to the world. We are no different than anybody else. We are under the power of darkness. We do not see what the world really is. We think that the world is beautiful, is sweet, is precious. We long for the things of this world. We want to get along. We want to get on. More of the world. That's what we want. And more, we are like the rest of the people, deeply sunk in this world that is passing. But thank God, the Spirit of God work upon us. Our conscience was touched by the Spirit of God. We saw our sins. We saw the wages of sin is death. We saw there is no hope. We cry out. We found we are under the tyranny of the power of sin. We are not ourselves. We are not free. We cry to God. And thank God he opens our eyes. He draws us back to the cross. To Christ, our Lord Jesus. There he was crucified. He bore in his body our sins. His blood is shed for the remission of our sins. We came to him. We believe in him. And thank God we are saved. We are free from this heavy burden of sin. But dear brothers and sisters, is that all? Is that all that happened when you are saved? Is there no change? Don't you have a new life that is heavenly? Is there any sign that you are not of the world? Does the Holy Spirit ever convict you afterwards of the things of the world that you long for? Is there no dealing in your life that you can go on with your old friends doing the same thing as you did before, seeking the same things as the people of this world are seeking, and the Spirit of God is silent? Can it be? Are you really saved? Brothers and sisters, where are we? Why is it that we may be saved and yet we have no consciousness of the world? We still love the world. We still desire to be conformed to the world. Why? You remember your Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, I beseech you to present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is a good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Brothers and sisters, I believe any believer, anyone who believes in the Lord Jesus, anyone who has this new life in him, anyone who has the Spirit of God in him, cannot help but after they are saved, the Lord will begin to deal with them in this matter of the world. Maybe certain things that you love, things that you consider as your life, maybe certain people of the world that you love, people that you love more than the Lord himself, maybe certain habit you have, and you will not give up because you love it. Certain relationship, friendship, that the Spirit of God will speak to you, but you do not listen. I believe you must have experienced these things. But why is it? Even though under the prompting of the Holy Spirit, and deep down in your heart you know there's something wrong, you won't give up. You won't change. You still love the world. Why? I think because there is a basic level of consecration. You know, when we are constrained by the love of Christ, when you think of the mercies of God, it should move your heart to give your whole being to the one who loves you so much, give himself for you, and you want to give yourself to him. That's consecration. I'm afraid, brothers and sisters, we are lacking in consecration. We may say, Lord, I give everything to you, but you don't mean it. There's not that seriousness, that thoroughness, that you really are touched by the love of Christ. You cannot live for yourself anymore. You do not belong to yourself. You belong to him. And his love constrains you to give your whole being to him. And so, Lord, it's yours. It's not mine. I have no right to use my body. I have no right to use my time. I have no right to use all my relationships. You are the one who decides everything. Brothers and sisters, have we consecrated ourselves to the Lord in an absolute way? Without such consecration, your mind will not be renewed. And if your mind is not renewed, you will still be conformed to this world because you find it's lovely, it's precious, it's life to you. You do not see the subtlety of the enemy, the real face of the world. You love it. And the Bible said, if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. No one can serve two masters. You either love the one or hate the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Befriend the world is enmity of God. But we don't see it. We think we can love both. We love the Father, we love the world. But God said, it's impossible. We think we can serve two masters. Are you wiser than God? God said, no, you cannot do that. The very fact that you befriend the world, you become an enemy of God. That's James chapter 4, verse 4. Why don't you see it? Why is it that your view of the world is still the worldly view? And not the Christian view. Why is it that you see the world a mirage built by the enemy and you don't see the world in its reality? The world that crucified the Lord. And if it crucified the Lord, will it not crucify you too? Death is what he is trying to bring to you. You don't see it. Why? Because there's a lack of consecration. Unfortunately, many God's people do not have a firm foundation. The Spirit of God is working in your life, but you neglect it. Oh, brothers and sisters, to be a separate people, I believe the most important thing is go to the Lord. Ask his love to touch you deeply. And then hand yourself over to the Lord your whole being to the Lord and let Him have absolute rule over your life. When you do that, things begin to happen. You find the Lord begin, first of all, as it were, to touch the outside of the world. Love not the world, nor the things of the world. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. These are the things of the world, and these are passing. Brothers and sisters, you'll find the Lord begin to touch you. As I say, you know, in your life, there might be something. You know, sometimes it's almost ridiculous because sometimes it's a small thing, very small thing. But something that you love so much, you won't give it up. And the Lord, His Spirit will touch you and say, now, how about this thing? Will you give it up for me? Oh, how you struggle. You cannot. Maybe a little jewel. Maybe something else. A little thing. Oh, I still remember many years ago, 1936, when I was in Amoy. One day I was preaching on this matter of consecration. And there was a medical doctor there. And he had two hobbies. One hobby is he raised Lihong chickens. And the other is he raised orchids. And these are his life. You know, nobody can touch them. If anybody touches chicken or his flowers, he will be so angry. That's his life. But then after he heard this message of consecration, and that night he began to pray and said, Lord, I want to give everything to you. And he began to hand over one after another thing. Not generally, in detail. He handed over this and that and this and that until he felt that he had handed over everything to the Lord. And then he had good night's rest. The next morning he woke up, one of his lihon died. Chicken died. Now in the past it's unbearable. But now when this happened, he killed some more and feed us all. You know, it's a small thing. But the Lord is touching him on this matter of the world. What is your word? Or is it some people that you love? Sometimes there are things illegitimate that you should give up, but you won't. But sometimes there are even legitimate things. But when legitimate things pass its boundary, you love these more than the Lord, it's illegitimate. And the Holy Spirit is jealous. He will deal with it. Oh, He may deal with your friendship. You have some friends. They are not believers. And you used to do things with them. And now, after you're saved, they want to go somewhere that you know shouldn't go. But because of friendship, you go. They want to do certain things. You know you shouldn't. But because of friendship, you won't give up. You go with them. Brothers and sisters, where are you? Where is your testimony? Where are you so stand? That's the reason why. After you are saved, you should tell people you are the Lord's. You make a stand and you will be saved from many troubles. They know that you are different and they won't dare to ask you to do it. Your friendship has to change. Things of this world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, Spirit of God will deal with you to deliver you out of this world system, that the love of the Father may be in you. And then gradually you find, as you walk with the Lord, the definition of the world system becomes clearer and clearer. Not only the things of the world, you will discover the world is a mode, a fashion. And that's why the Bible used the word age. You know, there's another word in Greek, aeon. Age. It means a period of time characterized by a certain moral characteristics. This is a wicked, evil age. This is an age that is perverse. And yet it has its fashion. It has its current. The world is like a current that is running on. And you know, whenever Paris has a new fashion, immediately the whole world will follow it to be in fashion. You don't want to be considered as backward. You want to be fashionable. Brothers and sisters, you want to be sociable. All the world are doing that. Why don't you do it? Ah, brothers and sisters, you'll find the world is a mold. There is a fashion there, a current there. Sometimes we may have dealings with the things, but when you come to that mode, we find it difficult. Everybody is doing it. If you don't do it, you will be odd. People will look at you and say, "Now, you belong to the last generation, last century. You are not fashionable, not sociable, backward. Dare you be different?" Why must we imitate the world? The world should imitate us. Why should we come out of Egypt and be captive into Babylon? If our mind is really renewed, we will look down upon these things. Just like the Apostle Paul, what he considered as precious to him, his status, his achievement in Judaism, his own future, now he considered these as dross, as loss for the excellency of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, where are we? As you go on with the Lord, you will discover the world is not only things, is not only a mold, it is a spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, what we receive is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit The world has a spirit. It is a spirit of pride, arrogance, self-centeredness, rebellious. That's the spirit of the world. And because of this spirit, you find there are strifes, envies, wars. And the spirit of the world has come into the church. People are striving against each other, striving for position, striving for power, arrogant, proud, self-centered, rebellious. Oh, how this world is rebellious. Rebellious against God, against anything that is authority. And the spirit of this world has entered into the church. May the Lord deliver us. Dear brothers and sisters, may we be a separated people, a people marked with the spirit of the Lamb. Humble, meek, lowly. So thank God. His Spirit is in us. He is working. But we need to cooperate. We need to submit ourselves to Him. The word of the Lord is, come out from their midst and be separated, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean. And God said, I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Brothers and sisters, do you think the world will love you? It's false. The world hates you because you belong to the Lord. It is trying to entice you in order to kill you. True, because we do not belong to the world. The world hates us. We will suffer, but remember, we have a Father. God said, I will be your Father. I will take care of you. And you will be my sons and daughters. Not just babies, but sons and daughters. You grow up, said the Lord Almighty. May God bless us. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we want to thank Thee for delivering us out of this evil world. And yet, Lord, oftentimes our hearts still linger there. We do not see it as Thou seest it. And at other times we are afraid to suffer, to be different. Lord, forgive us. We pray that Thy Spirit would deeply convict us and bring us to our knees, that we may confess, that we may return, and we may be restored. O Lord, we pray that I will build up a wall between us and the world. May the cross separate us from the world. Let the world see us as dead, and we will see the world as dead, to the glory of God. In the name of our Lord Jesus.